And, you know, I've had this cold now going on 5 weeks. And I went in for medical tests today. I haven't gotten results back, but it just kind of lingers. But let me get back to John. You know, John has been on my show many, many, many times. And he comes on, he talks a lot about Planet X and many other different topics. But primarily, his information is dealing with the geological changes that we often see going on, as well as the effects of if there is this Planet X, which apparently many people are saying there is, but he talks about what that kind of effect is going to be on us. And he's very much into this because of his background, which is in physics and geology and all the other sciences. So he's been studying this for years. He makes a great connection about the Bible and the current events. That's called eschatology, and that's one of my fields. But John can tie this up really, really nicely. And I understand he has a presentation on the AVR on Planet X and Bible prophecy. So there's another way you can certainly listen to him. But he's been on my show many, many times, and so most of you are quite familiar with him. We are going to talk about some of these things, such as Mount Tambora and Cumbre Vieja and the volcano Tiedra and many other things. And he will let us know, why are these things happening? Why are tsunamis going on? Why is there so much volcanic eruptions all over the world and earthquakes and all these other things? And is it a sign from, or are they signs from God? And if so, what is he telling us? So John's going to certainly hit on that. We're going to dialogue. I'll ask him some questions. He'll give answers and so on and so forth. But I do want you to call in 1-800-596-8191. We are probably, I think, in a period of the most geological activity that this earth has witnessed during human civilization. And that's telling us something. So we certainly want to know what is going on. Most of you get the announcements. I don't need to read them to you. I think 3,000 plus announcements go out to you every week. If you don't get them, just write me at Gianni, G-I-A-N-N-I-D, as in David Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S, at yahoo.com, or Gianni D. Hayes at gmail.com. Say, hey, Gianni, put me on your radio list, and I will send it to the company that shoots out my radio announcement every week, and you will only get this once a week, but you'll know who my guest is. So, you know, John and several other people have the like mind that there are bunkers underneath the earth, which I think most of us know to be true, but that these bunkers have been beefed up by FEMA and other government agencies, and kind of in the, many people speculate, in light of what is coming in 2012, so that the people in the bunkers are going to be safe, supposedly. I'm not so sure about that, because if the earth is heating up and there are earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, then isn't underground also dangerous, hot and dangerous? But anyways, if the government is stockpiling food, as rumor says, and FEMA's doing preparations, and they're rebuilding some of the bunkers and the shuttle tunnels, then we need to know what is going on and why this is going on. Hey, John DiNardo has a degree in science education from Keene University. He has electives in physics and biology. He's taught high school physics before returning to electronics career during his 4.5 years in the Marine Corps. He graduated from Naval Air Technical Training Center in Memphis, and he graduated as a Scholastic Honor Man in the Aviation Electronics Technician School. Hey, he's also completed evening college courses in electrical engineering and in advanced mathematics, like in differential equations, that kind of thing. So we're not dealing with anybody who's speculating. This is a man who knows a lot. He attended also Farley Dickson University, and he's done troubleshooting, fault analysis, and design of electronic circuitry. And his list just goes on and on and on. And you could go to his site. You could read about what he has to say, and it's really simple. It's HTTP, the Light of Day Radio Show, the Light, THELIGHT, of OF Day, DAY, Radio Show.com /PlanetXAlt2.html. But look, if you just went to HTTP, the Light of Day Radio Show.com, you can maneuver your way around everything else. So I think I covered most of the important things. I know there's a lot of things I could tell you about John, but most of you who listen to my show are very familiar with John simply because I've had him on so many times. Welcome, John.
Hi, Gianni. It's a pleasure being with you and your audience.
Well, it's always good having you on, John. It's almost like we do coffee every so often.
Yes. And I was tempted to make a cup tonight, but it would keep me awake.
Yeah, well, you know, I do the decaf, but that doesn't always work either. You know, for a while they were saying caffeination causes breast tumors and everything else, so I stopped drinking caffeinated. Now they're saying, well, you know, maybe decaf isn't always good for you either. So, hey, it's a no-win situation.
Well, they're saying that caffeine is good for you now. Coffee is actually healthful. And
well,
I've
yes.
seen some reports on that, so I don't feel guilty about drinking coffee anymore.
No, and don't feel guilty about eating dark chocolate, because that's supposed to be just loaded with antioxidants. And I even did a show on Xocai, X-O-C-A-I, where people can get this candy, and it has like 1,000 times more the antioxidants that are sold in retail stores, like a Hershey bar or something. So it has 1,000 more in a much smaller piece. But, you know, they say chocolate is the answer because of the antioxidants in it. So I think if that's the case, I'm going to continue to enjoy eating my chocolate.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the pleasures of life that you can feel good about.
Yeah, and there aren't too many of those, are there?
All right. Gianni, someone just called me recently, just in fact an hour ago, telling me that there was a news report stating that Queen Elizabeth was in the United States. Now, at the same time, President Obama and a large entourage of higher-ups from the United States government were visiting Denver, Colorado. We know that there are underground facilities in Denver, as Governor Jesse Ventura has publicized very clearly on television, on True TV. Oh, just last year or so, he had a whole one-hour documentary where in a final part, part six of this, Apocalypse 2012 was the title of it. Governor Jesse Ventura, you can go to YouTube and type in Apocalypse 2012, Jesse Ventura, and you will see part six. They go underground and show you the facilities that are guarded by U.S. military under the command of Colonel Wynn. When Colonel Wynn was asked by the producer Michael Braverman if he and other Americans could go down there for shelter in the case of natural disasters,
yeah,
but due to solar scorching that they expect to occur, Colonel Wynn replied, "You can knock on those steel doors all day. There's no way you're going to get in, and we are armed troops are highly trained to protect this facility against anyone, including American citizens."
Wow.
They expect, in this documentary, they produced the reports from the National Academy of Sciences, which scientist Larry Joseph on the program states is the National Academy of Sciences is the highest authority of science in the United States. And in this article, which he actually displayed on the show, they expect solar scorching, solar blasting to occur in 2012. And Dr. Michio Kaku, a famed astrophysicist, mm-hmm. has been stating this on television, primetime television also, that we expect solar blasting, which would they say could take down the power lines, but we know could means will take down the power lines. Or at least there'll be some kind of damage, and that would bring us back to a primitive existence.
But it's not going to be just the United States, though, John, is it? It's going to be all over the globe that there's going to be these solar flares that are going to come up.
That's right. I mean, depending on what part, if you're fortunate, it'll be nighttime when this, and we'll be facing the other side of the away from the sun when the blasting occurs. That may help somewhat, but everybody's going to get it eventually. The solar flares are a result of the excitation caused by this incoming brown dwarf star. A brown dwarf star is a baby star which never got bright enough, never got large enough to create the type of pressure, internal pressure, that would result in hydrogen fusion, nuclear fusion, that causes it to illuminate and be seen in all the wavelengths of light. Right now, it's a slow smoldering brown dwarf star. This is what the scientists tell us. And as a result, it cannot be seen except with infrared telescopes, which the government has. I'd like to resort quickly to a landmark article to convince people that this thing is real. And
okay, can you put it in your own words, John, instead of reading it? Can you kind of paraphrase it?
Okay, yes, I would. What I'll say is what it says in this article, and I've actually photocopied the actual New York Times article from January 30th, 1983, when they were, before they were muzzled, before the mass media and the scientific community was muzzled by the National Intelligence Agency. They were very proud to announce that they were sending up the infrared astronomical satellite into polar orbit around the Earth in order to get a clear view of this distant object, which had been detected by gravitational measurements, calculations, astronomical sightings for 200 years, ever since the early 1800s. They had not sighted the planet directly, but they sighted the consequences, the effects of its gravitational pull on the outer planets Uranus and Neptune. At one particular point in the orbits of these outer gas giant planets, Uranus and Neptune, these planets were plucked out of their orbit temporarily, and they knew, all the astronomers going back to the early 1800s, nearly two centuries ago, they all knew that there must be some gravitational force of such great mass that it could actually exert a pull on these outer planets. And the name that the astronomers for 200 years, well, actually, the name was dubbed 111 years ago by astronomer Percival Lowell as Planet X. So it's had this name for a long time, and all the great scientists of NASA and the United States government and astronomers around the world have been searching for Planet X. In fact, there is an internal document published by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration of the United States government. This document is titled The Search for Planet X. So when they tell you it doesn't exist, they're lying. They've known about it. They've been very concerned about it. And their scientists have all the equipment and all the scientific know-how to realize that this thing is incoming. And I'm just going to read one paragraph to prove to you that it's incoming. From this New York Times article, this is a key paragraph. Quote, recent calculations by the United States Naval Observatory have confirmed the orbital perturbation, that's plucking, exhibited by Uranus and Neptune, which Dr. Thomas C. Van Flandern, an astronomer at the observatory, says could be explained by a single undiscovered planet. He and colleague Dr. Robert Harrington calculate that the 10th planet, et cetera, should be out there, is in a highly elliptical orbit, takes it some 5 billion miles beyond Pluto, hardly next door, but still within the gravitational influence of the sun. This is a key, end of quote. This is a very key fact stated by the United States government. It is within the gravitational influence of the sun. If I were to go up to the top of the Empire State Building and drop something off of there, at that height, that object would be within the gravitational influence of the Earth. If I were to go up 1 mile above the Earth, I would still be within the gravitational influence of the Earth. If I were to go up several miles, I would still be within the gravitational influence. And if any asteroid or rock were caught in the Earth's gravitational field, even if it were miles high, that rock, that boulder, that asteroid, that meteor would be pulled to Earth at an accelerating pace by Earth's gravitational force of attraction, its force field.
Why do you think they're not telling us this, John?
Oh, because they don't want to panic the public. And you know what? I actually agree with them to an extent. But I don't agree. And, you know, I really have never, I've always condemned and criticized the New World Order government, as you have. You know, obviously your name, the name of your program, exemplifies that criticism of the corrupt government. But in this case, if they were to tell the people, the government were to announce that the Earth is about to undergo literally, you know, irreversible devastation with most of the people killed. What a total destruction, of self-destruction of the society as we know it.
Wait, John, hold that thought, doll. We have to take that station ID and we'll be right back. Stay tuned, listeners. We're coming right back. All right, we're back, listeners, and if you listen to the first half of the first hour, you know I have John DiNardo on, and we're talking about the geological disasters and Planet X. And when we went to break, John, you had said that you totally understood why the government isn't letting us know about the danger we're going to face here very soon. And I'm wondering, what are you going to do, John? Are you going to be one of the lucky ones to get under those bunkers, or where are you going to go?
Well, I just will do whatever I can do as an individual to prepare food, save, store food and water, medical supplies, natural types of medical supplies, and primarily keep my mind on God, our Savior, because as I read the scriptures and as I pray, I understand that God says that he is bringing this destruction upon earth, but he wants to save as many who will come to him, call out to him for salvation.
Which means, though, that we could be killed but still be saved.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I hate to think of it that way, but it sure is a possibility. When you realize that everyone must die anyway, except for maybe a few at the very end when the Lord Jesus appears in the sky in that blazing cometary cross pattern that I talked about, at that point, some of those will be taken up alive. This is not fantasy. I'm a former physics teacher, and I for most of my career, I depended only on scientific knowledge and had little use for anything that was metaphysical. But I've seen so much evidence now for God coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and it all relates to scientific evidence.
Well, before we talk about that, John, I do want to talk about that in light of the tribulation, et cetera, and rapture. Here's a question that was just sent to me. It says, is it true that the reports that say the Earth is going to get hit is accurate?
Oh, no, that's incorrect. There's a movie called Melancholia that presents that theory. Of course, it's a fictional movie, and I think it's designed to lead people to believe that something that's false. But, you know, maybe there, I also feel that there may be some humanitarian motive behind this movie by the men and powerful men in the movie industry who are maybe care about humankind. And also maybe they don't have a ticket to the underground shelter, and they have no allegiance to the power elite who are themselves going to abscond into these underground shelters. For, you know, many people with great power and wealth, even in the movie industry, may not get a chance to go underground. So because they care about humanity, they may be producing movies to warn people in a tangential, in an oblique way, that something is coming and we ought to be concerned about it. not to present, not that they're presenting any solution to the problem, but they feel a moral responsibility to at least warn people and let people determine what they should do as a result of that. So that's what I think the movie is about, even though it's false, that it's not going to hit us, it's going to pass by us, as it has so many times in history. When I say, maybe I'm exaggerating, so many times, I don't know how many times it's passed. Ancient historical researchers say that it has passed many times, and it passes regularly on a cometary orbit. You see, a comet, by definition, is punctual, it's periodic, it's cyclical passage is predictable. This particular comet has a very long period. It takes 36 and a half centuries to make one orbit into and out of our solar system. Now, why would a comet go into and out of our solar system? Think of it as two tennis players on a tennis court batting a ball, tennis ball, back and forth. One tennis player is represented by the sun. The other tennis player is a distant, dead, dark sun that we cannot see, but scientists tell us it is probably out there. In fact, the astronomers tell us that most of the solar systems that they have observed are binary, bi meaning two. They have two suns, and our solar system is typical of most that have been observed, according to astronomers. So there's a distant sun that represents that other tennis player on the other side of the court. When that ball is hit back, there's a force that slams that ball back and forth across the court. Similarly, there is a gravitational force of attraction that pulls this brown dwarf star in, which is the tennis ball, pulls it in to one sun. It whips around that one sun and slingshots back out toward the sister sun, far out into space, and that's our sun. It takes 36 and a half centuries to make one complete loop. Well, science tells us that 36 and a half centuries ago, the Earth underwent global cataclysm in many ways.
All right, let me read this. It's a question, but I want to read it in full. It says, there were reports that the Earth was going to get hit by an asteroid yesterday. Does John think... Let me read it all, John. Does John think that these bogus reports are to discredit Planet X or just sick people looking for attention? A newly discovered asteroid estimated about 30 feet in size and named 2011 MD will pass by the Earth over the South Atlantic around 1 p.m. today, 6/27/2011. That was Tuesday. June, missing a direct hit by only 7,500 miles. In the vastness of space of the inner of the solar system, this is considered a really close call. So I guess this person is asking your opinion on the bogus reports that we've been getting. And I know that I received in my email, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago, John, that somebody predicted on a Saturday was going to be the end of the world because we're going to be hit by an asteroid. And this particular person is saying essentially the same thing. What about these bogus reports? Is it done to minimize Planet X, or is it just people looking for attention? And is there something else out there besides Planet X?
This requires us to stay in touch with honest and competent astronomers to find out if there are really real threats out there at any given time. I know many asteroids are out there, and we have to sort out the disinformation from the information, from the true information. It's not always easy. We have had some bogus reports, and I tend to think whenever someone attaches a date to some coming catastrophe, I am very skeptical about that. Because I don't believe in date setting dates. No one really knows exactly. But when an asteroid's coming close and legitimate scientists tell us that they have spotted asteroids within a certain distance of the Earth, you have to take it seriously and just prepare, just in case it happens. They don't always say, and I think I tend to trust them when they don't tell you, they can't tell you whether or not it's going to strike Earth, because nobody knows for sure. And even if it does strike, very often these asteroids will get so hot when they accelerate due to toward the Earth by the Earth's gravitational force field. They get so hot with in creating friction with the air that they explode and do not cause destruction when they, because they never strike the Earth. They just explode in midair. We've seen the fireballs very often, the shooting stars. These things do occur, and quite a few numbers.
All right, let's now go back to what you started out saying, that Queen Elizabeth was here. Was she here because you think it has something to do with the bunkers? And just for a minute, I want to talk about those bunkers, because my understanding is certainly Congress will be in those bunkers and the president and his family, but spouses and families of Congress and the cabinet will not be there. So they're supposedly going to be left outside to die. So they're going to be like the rest of us. Now, is that what you heard?
I didn't hear anything about who is going under there. I don't know how many people they can support in those bunkers, but they are very elaborate. And, well, speaking of Queen Elizabeth, in 2005, Queen Elizabeth visited the United States and went to the Kentucky Derby. And James McCanney had mentioned back then, in 2005, that the Queen was actually here to become familiarized with her underground facilities. And I tend to believe that, because there's no place in, as far as I know, there's no place in England where people could be secure.
Why not?
I don't know if they have the underground cities there. If they did.
But why not? Because they certainly have underground subways. I've been in London several times.
Well, we're talking about, right, England. You know, the geologists may, I have not gotten into this particular aspect of it, whether or not England is secure from these natural disasters. But the geologists could have determined that it's not a good place to be. You're better off in the United States, where you're way inland, under the mountains of Denver, on the Cheyenne Mountain, where Jesse Ventura brought his cameras for the TV broadcast to unveil this hidden underground trillion-dollar facility, or you're better off in Mount Weather, which is right outside of Washington, D.C., in the mountains, Appalachian Mountains, I believe, of West Virginia. Incidentally, speaking of Mount Weather, somebody who knows someone who lives in that area stated about 2 months ago that they had sealed off the roads leading toward Mount Weather. I'd like to find out if that's actually true. But,
where do you live, John? What state?
I'm in northern New Jersey.
Okay, so you could certainly get down there to find that out. That's not too far.
I don't think I'd want to get down there. I would just look for somebody who lives in that area that could let me know, you know. I'm not that much of an investigator to go out there and actually take that trip. But, you know, the Queen, the report I got, I haven't looked at it, but they told me, they sent me this news article that the Queen is here in this country. And it could very well be because they were concerned about a possible natural disaster with the comet Elenin that came in, or maybe some other asteroids that they're not telling us about. And President Obama, I understand, I haven't followed this story, but President Obama and many high government officials were out in Denver and have been out in Denver for the last couple of days. I suspect, I'm not sure, but I can only suspect that they're there because they might have be worried about some possible strike, asteroid strike, or other natural disaster where they would need to be in a shelter quickly. So they plan to be in that area, perhaps, to protect themselves. And perhaps the Queen is ready to get there at a moment's notice within a couple of hours by jet or whatever. And that's probably, or not probably, but I suspect that might be the reason why Queen Elizabeth is in the country at this same time that Obama is suspiciously, and this entourage are out in Denver. Things are going to happen. We have to watch where these elite go, because when the elite start to flee, that's when we know that we should take cover also.
John? Where can we go? I mean, and I and our families are on the top surface of the Earth. That's what's going to get hit. Where do we go? When do we know to go? And how can we protect ourselves? See, I don't think we can protect ourselves.
We do the best we can, and with the information that we have, we learn as much as we can, and there's a lot of information about protecting ourselves. However, there are so many different disasters. You're right. If these disasters are going to accelerate, they're going to increase in tempo, and in intensity as the months wear on from here on out. And it'll get to the point where no one will be able to really do anything to protect themselves. Even the elite are quite afraid right now. For example, I got information from somebody who was, this person worked in the oceanographic area, and I'm not sure if he wouldn't tell me if he was in the government or working for private industry, but he told me some things, one of which was that you've heard of these earthquakes, these shallow earthquakes that were
often... Yeah, I just heard about it last night, as a matter of fact.
Well, some of these earthquakes that have happened, like, in months past, like maybe 6, 7, 8 months ago, they were shallow earthquakes and not indicative of natural earthquakes, and many people blamed it on HARP. They said these were HARP-generated earthquakes. Well, this person told me that, yeah, they're using HARP to generate earthquakes at certain depths in certain locales that are near these trillion-dollar underground facilities that they have created. And the reason they're creating earthquakes, generating earthquakes near those areas, is to test the strength and the viability of these underground shelters. Evidently, the people who are going underground, the power elite, are quite afraid that they may get buried under the rocks.
No
kidding.
They
want to make sure that their shelter is going to be strong and tested before they go down there. That would make sense, right? When you think about these people and how scared they must be, and, you know, like a bunch of scared rats, would want to make sure that they're going to be, they won't be buried alive.
Well, and I think, you know, hey, that's the least of their worries, because I really think the earth will heat up so fast from whatever is going on, whether it is this brown dwarf planet or it's going to cause volcanoes and earthquakes. I think that being underground might end up being dangerous for these people. I mean, that's just my speculation.
Oh,
but,
well,
you know, I did read several people, and I do want you to talk about that in a minute, about the earth heating up underneath. But, John, I'm sure you got the same kind of emails I get, because you and I are often on other people's distribution lists together. But I got one, I think it was from Cal, I can't remember. But it was talking about, and I went and I looked this up, that the earthquake that we had here in the D.C. East Coast area, which came out of Virginia, which wasn't very far from D.C., was not a natural earthquake, but rather an explosive had gone off under one of the bunkers. And whether they were testing that bunker, or something had happened by accident, or somebody had let an explosive go off, I don't know. But I saw it the first time, and I said, oh, this is ridiculous. Then I saw it again, and again, and again. And then I went and looked up the articles that quoted it. And I'm wondering if they may not have been testing down there just to determine secure it was.
It might have been sabotage from some patriotic factions within the government. I don't know. I'm still not sure about that. And I do place a lot of credence in this report that it was generated. It was a man-made explosion, because you note that there were two simultaneously on the same day. One was in Denver,
right,
where they have their underground facilities. The other was near D.C., which is Mount Weather. Those are the two major underground facilities for the elite. And these explosions happen in both places across the country on the same day, I believe. So it could well be that there is a patriotic faction that is trying to sabotage these elite who are running and leaving everybody.
That's what I read, John. You're absolutely right. That the person who sent me these emails, not one person, many people sent me these emails, said the same thing you just said, that there may be a some type of sector out there who was part of the elite, but have found that they may be left out in the end, or they may be tired of playing their games and try to make the bunkers fail by setting off an explosive. You know, but when you say that stuff out loud and you verbalize it, almost sounds ridiculous, but yet that's what the truth is made of.
Yes, I mean, in this case, we're seeing the advent of natural disasters that have never been witnessed in modern history. Now, this everything falls apart. The structure of the chain of command begins to fall apart because people at upper echelons, generals and high intelligence officers, begin to rebel, renege against their leaders because the leaders are leaving them to twist slowly in the wind, as President Nixon's aide once said, leaving them to die. So they're going to lose their allegiance, and, you know, and the entire structure of power begins to collapse. The pyramid begins to fall apart. This is what you can expect when, and you're going to expect more of this chaos. It has to happen. It's human nature. As the events get worse, as we see, well, I'm sorry to talk about it, and I hate to bring this to people's attention, but hopefully they'll turn to God, and that's a good benefit from it. Turn to God in our minds and our hearts as we go about our daily preparations in fear, but still in trust that God is going to protect us because he promises that he will protect us if we call out to him. But these disasters will be in such an array of different types. One will be solar scorching. The sun is becoming highly excited because these comets that come into the solar system are penetrating through a vast sphere surrounding the outer solar system, which is called a heliosphere. And that heliosphere is comprised of what you could visualize as glowing red electrified plasma sphere. And when it's like the front door, or breaking through the walls of the house of our solar system. That's what these comets do when they come in, and this brown dwarf star does when it penetrates, along with its cometary gang that it holds in its gravitational grip. It's like a vacuum cleaner as it travels through deort space, and then it travels through the Oort cloud before it gets to the heliosphere, and it picks up lots of comets just as a magnet sliding across a table strewn with iron filings. A magnet would pick up iron filings as it slides across this table. Likewise, this brown dwarf star gravitationally attracts comets that are swarming through the Oort cloud of comets. And it pulls in, it's like a drive-by shotgun blast as it comes by. It's pulling a whole, it's like a beehive. I call it Planet X Beehive, and the bees swarming around it are planets actually in orbit. It's a mini solar system. In fact, James McCanny had broadcast, I don't hear him say much about it anymore. I don't listen to him too much. I hope he's still broadcasting this, but he had a message out a while back stating that he had leaks from scientists, people in the astronomical community, professional astronomers, and people in the military. This is what he stated. Leaks are coming out all over the place stating that a mini solar system is moving into our solar system. So that's what this thing is like. It's a baby star. As we know, stars have planets. Stars are baby suns. This is not a light sun. It's a smoldering infrared sun that cannot be seen with visible light. You need an infrared telescope to sight it right now. But still in all, its size is such that it has planets orbiting around it. It's its own mini solar system. So when it comes in, it's loaded with plasma. It's like a bee flying into a huge bubblegum bubble. And when the bee flies into the bubblegum bubble, it pulls a whole stream of bubblegum along with it.
And all right, John, now let me ask you this. Do you have a family?
Yes.
Okay, so you have a wife and kids and maybe grandkids?
No grandkids.
Okay. But what are you going to tell them to do next year when this planet supposedly is going to come near us?
Well, I told them about it for a long time, and they don't want to hear it. They know it's true. They'll never admit it, but they just don't want to know about it because it's too frightening to think about. So what I do is I just go on preparing as best I can, storing food and water and medical supplies. And this way they know and they trust that I'm preparing. And they just.
But what about them? Are they preparing?
No, I'm doing all the preparing.
Yeah, so they're not preparing. And the reason I say that, I mean, I'm in the same situation as you, John. I have children, and I've been telling them this stuff for years and years, and, you know, especially the last 2 years, but also talking to them about the New World Order, and they're at a point where they don't want to hear it anymore. And I don't know if they don't want to hear it because, A, they don't believe it, or, B, because they don't, it's too frightening for them. But you're in the same situation as I, so then what do we do? What do we do to help our family? You can't yank them out of their homes and say, let's all die here together in my house. You don't have a bunker or an underground place, do you?
No, I don't.
but what do you do?
I mean, my relatives are probably going to be coming to me, because I've told them about it, probably coming to me for food and water. And I've been saving lots and lots of plastic bottles over the past 4 or 5 years, filling them up with tap water. And I have many of them stacked up. And I have a Berkey filter, a ceramic filter, so that the water can be filtered. But then again, you could survive on tap water that's been stored in bottles. It's not the best for your health, but it'll keep you alive. Anyway, I do have the filter and the food and medical supply, so I expect to be supplying my family and my immediate family and my relatives also when the time comes. This is what God would want us to do.
All right, let's
and
talk
at the same time that they have to work to help to defend the house if they expect necessary supplies to keep them alive. They're going to have to help defend the house also.
So that means that you want your family to take up arms?
Well, whatever it is, whatever it takes to defend your property, it doesn't have to be firearms. It could be firearms, and it could be other types of weapons. There are other types also. And, of course, we don't want to hurt anybody. I mean, if people come to me, my neighbors come to me, I'll give them food, you know. But I just have to protect against people, you know, attacking the house. This is what we can expect. I'm sorry to have to say it. I feel very, you know, morbid about talking about this. But this is what has happened in Argentina, and they didn't even have natural disasters. They had a collapse of the economy back in 2001.
Yeah. Hey, John, you know, it's break time. It's already the top of the hour here, and we're going to come right back and continue this for the next hour. So, listeners, stay tuned. John, we're coming right back.
Welcome to the New World Order Disorder, a weekly broadcast hosted by Dr. Gianni Hayes. Stay tuned. Things are about to get interesting.
Listeners, we are back for the second hour. My guest is John DiNardo, and as I've said at the top of the show an hour ago, that he's a good friend and been on my show many, many times, and I always enjoy having him on. He sheds new light on old topics and new topics with a different light. So for me, he's just an exceptional guest, and we debate, and it's a healthy debate. And part of that debate includes this question, John. And by the way, listeners, please don't forget to go ahead and click on TalkStream Live, my name, a couple times. Let's get right at the tip top so that more streams will go out and more people are going to hear John's message. And that's really important. John, you talk about the Lord, and both of us are Christians, and both of us have very deep faith as Christians. But do you believe in a rapture? And I'm asking that because do you think that when Planet X comes rolling by, we're going to be raptured before then or not? And if we're not going to be raptured, because at one time I took a stance that I truly believed in a rapture, but I don't believe in a pre-trib rapture that necessarily means we Christians are going to escape persecution or death or pain, because many, many Christians, millions of Christians have died and are dying on a regular basis for Christ, and they haven't been raptured out. So I don't know what would make us feel so privileged that we would be raptured out. I do think there's a rapture. I think it's going to be at the end, but if this planet X is a threat that you're saying that it is, are we going to be gone if there's a rapture before the planet X happens, or are we going to live through that and then there wouldn't be a rapture? John?
The very end. We will go through all the trials and tribulations. We will still be here on Earth, according to what the Bible says. We will still be on Earth when Planet X passes over. And the Lord Jesus describes this in several places in the Bible, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. He states in Luke 21 that there will be men's hearts will fail them for fear. There will be the sea and the waves will be roaring. There'll be heavenly, frightening heavenly sights. All the things that we can expect. We will go through it, but with the trust in God as our companion, our mental companion. And I'd like to think of it as mentally communicating, feeling his presence in trust. And it's not easy to do, to visualize and imagine an invisible being with you. But when you see all the wonder around you, including your wondrous body and how beautifully and lovingly it was created, as David said, I am lovingly and fearfully created, something to that extent in the Psalms. He says, I am wonderfully created. So he understood that God was there who loves him. And he loves you and us, and he promises to protect us. But it's also, you know, incongruent. I was just thinking about this today. How can I tell people that God loves us when at the same time God says he's going to destroy us?
Yeah.
Well, he's someone whose love is infinite, but then again, his justice, his sense of justice is also infinitely perfect. So there you have two sides of, and man cannot comprehend God. God says, my ways are not your ways. You cannot understand me. But in order for him to create a perfect universe, and he has to be perfect in his justice and judgment and requite sin or wrath with his wrath. But he does promise that he himself will take the penalty for what wrath that we deserve if we just call out to him and understand, recognize his presence. So that's what I try to do day by day. I'm walking with that invisible God, our Savior. He will protect us, take us to a place of safety. Revelation 12 tells us that the woman was fled into the wilderness. The wilderness?
Yeah.
Well, that
yeah.
was in Exodus, the book of Exodus. God says, I will take you into the wilderness away from Pharaoh. The book of Exodus, way back in the Old Testament. I will take you away from Pharaoh, who represented the world, a new world order leader, the power elite. This was Pharaoh, and he enslaved the people, just as we're enslaved by the new world order. We don't work as hard as those Israelite slaves did, but we're taxed to death. And we have no freedom at all. I mean, with some degree of freedom, but they can do whatever they want to us if they wanted to. So Pharaoh represented what we're now undergoing. But God says, let my people out of your grip, Satan. That's what Pharaoh represented, Satan. And at the same time, God is saying, let my people out of your grip, New World Order. Come out into the wilderness. And God says the woman who represents the true believers, Israel, but Israel is spiritual. That's us. We're spiritual Israel, those who were born and given faith in God. The woman fled on the wings of an eagle into the wilderness to escape the dragon who pursued her. Well, that's the New World Order under the control of Satan's Antichrist, who will pursue all true believers. And Jesus tells us this is true. He says, you're going to be persecuted for my name's sake. You will be brought before councils and tribunals and synagogues for my name's sake. But don't even rehearse what you're going to say, because my Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, will put those words in your mouth as to what you should say. So
all
we're
right,
going
John,
to be...
No, I know what you're saying, and I think that... We have the same beliefs, John, so, and I think most of the listeners who tune in to me every week have essentially the same beliefs. But we've done a lot of talking now on Planet X, and I do want to shift it to the geological disasters, because I believe they are a sign, just as the Lord is telling us that they are a sign. And we're seeing the most activity in earthquakes and volcanoes and tsunamis and this earth has ever experienced. You know, there's the Cumbre Vieja that we've talked about on this show before. There is Mount Tambora that many, many people are quite concerned about. There is also the Pico Viejo crater that's at the Canary Islands, which may be the same as the Cumbre Vieja. But nonetheless, those are just some of them. There's Yellowstone. Good Lord, they did a special on Yellowstone last night, and they say that if Yellowstone erupts, you know, it's the size of Delaware and Rhode Island put together, that it will affect all of the United States, not just the Midwest, but all of the United States, and that it'll go around the globe and affect everybody on the globe.
Yeah, and that's all.
Just the one last thing was that they're also talking about that there are plumes of hot magma, that this magma is caused by massive tectonic plates that they've just recently discovered. So what's going on, buddy?
Well, the Earth is heating up. Comets are loaded with plasma. They're dripping with plasma like that bee that flies into a bubblegum bubble and pulls a whole trail of bubblegum along with it. Well, that's the kind of plasma this is. It's electrically sticky, not like bubblegum sticky, not physically elastic, but electrically elastic. So when this comet comes in, it's surrounded by electrified particles, which is hydrogen ions. And anytime you can read in your physics book, your physics textbook, it tells you that when electric charge is in motion, that electric charge generates a magnetic field that encircles and billows out around the path of those moving electrical charges, sort of like an airplane shooting out chemtrails. The airplane could be likened to a stream of electrified particles, and the chemtrails that billow out around the airplane can be likened to the magnetic tunnel-like field that's radiated outward as a result of this moving stream of electrons or protons. Well, likewise, this huge body saturated with electrical charge is streaking through the solar system, coming in closer to the sun because it's gravitationally being pulled in by the sun. And in its journey toward the sun, it has to cross over the top of planet Earth and all the other planets. And when it does, its magnetic fields and also the comets that are in advance of it, comets that it drags in its gang, that shotgun blast of comets also carry plasma, and they're all radiating this plasma out throughout, and it's cutting into invisible lines of magnetic force, magnetic fields, just like a microwave oven would envelop the food, the dish, the plate of food within the chamber. Likewise, Earth is like that plate of food inside the chamber of a microwave oven. Earth is being bombarded with electromagnetic energy. At the same time, the sun is being excited by this electrical movement, electromagnetic fields, and the electrostatic charge of the incoming comets, and the sun is beginning to react just like it's zapping. It's discharging in form of flares and coronal mass ejections, because the sun is an electrical body. The sun is the source of voltage in our solar system. That's capacitor.
So you're talking about Planet X affecting the sun, or is the sun
and the Earth
affecting the Planet X?
Planet X and its entourage of comets, thousands and thousands surrounding comets in a radius of many millions of miles, are bringing in electromagnetic fields to saturate and bombard all the planets and the sun. The sun is reacting like a bug zapper. Remember the old bug zappers?
Yeah.
It's causing electrical discharge, and the sun reacts like when you grab a hold of a doorknob or so. Suppose you're walking out to your car on a cold winter day and the air is very dry, and as you go to reach for the handle on that car door, one hair's width away, when your finger is one hair's width away from that door knob, it gets close enough that there's an electrical discharge of the static charge from your body to that metal grounded car or that big hunk of metal, and you can feel a sting, a very painful sting on your finger. That's the kind of discharge that occurs when these comets and Planet X get close enough to the sun. Right now we're seeing pictures from the SOHO satellite, which is the U.S. government's satellite that sits out in space looking at the sun all day long. We're seeing pictures of these comets coming in, and they look like a cross, just a horizontal bar of a cross that is a winged globe, a globe with wings on it. It's almost as if you were looking at a bird flying straight head-on at you. The body and head of the bird would be sort of round, and the wings would float outward, stream outward. That's what we see. You can see it on the SOHO satellite. Look like little disks. That is what you're going to observe when this planet gets close enough. When this comet or even Planet X itself, the big guy, gets close enough to Earth, that it'll stream out this plasma in both directions horizontally and make it look like a winged globe. And that's what the ancients called it, a winged globe. In fact, Zachariah Sitchin, in his landmark book, The 12th Planet, describes the winged globe from, he recounts ancient historians, I have the book right here, on how they saw this thing coming in the past. You see, we have the benefit of seeing the past incursions of this brown dwarf star on its 36.5-century cycle. Every 36.5 centuries ago places us at 1650 B.C., which was the time of the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. And at that time, we have secular, not just the Bible, but we have a secular writings that tell us from ancient civilizations that they saw this winged globe. I want to quote from page 240 of The 12th Planet by the late Zechariah
Sitchin. Okay, make it short, John.
Wherever archaeologists uncovered the remains of Near Eastern peoples, the symbol of the winged globe was conspicuous, dominating temples and palaces, carved on rocks, etched on cylinder seals, painted on walls. It accompanied kings and priests, stood above their thrones, hovered above them in battle scenes, was etched into their chariots. Clay, metal, stone, and wood objects were adorned with the symbol of the winged globe. The rulers of all these nations all proclaimed this symbol and what it stood for, supreme.
Well,
now, this was the sign of the cross. This became the sign of the cross.
I hear you. But let's get back to these things that I have mentioned to you, Yellowstone, all of these different ones. Let's get back to that, John, because I know a lot of the listeners and people who get my announcements are tuning in because they want to hear about this. And let me first ask you, can you talk about Yellowstone?
Yes. Okay. Now, last year we had the BP oil spill, so-called oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. A high-level oil executive from the oil industry, Matthew Simmons, was on Fox News and stating that this whole thing was a scam. He says that that constant picture you're seeing of the stream of oil oozing out from the seabed constantly on television, he says that thing is not the real leak. The real leak is miles away, coming from, seeping from underground cracks and fissures in the Gulf of Mexico seabed. And then Keith Olbermann, the former outspoken host of an MSNBC television news program, stated from his evidence that the BP promptly laid down Corexit not to break up the oil, but to mask the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico. This was a highly secret operation. They are so concerned about people seeing what's really going on at the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico. And that relates to Yellowstone. There is, to tell you really quickly, I have to tell you, I was in touch with one person who was one of the whistleblowers who lived around the Gulf of Mexico, and he and a couple other colleagues basically shut up because their lives are threatened. One of them that I had not met, but one of them was actually murdered They threw him in prison for no reason at all because he was going to state legislatures and telling them about what's really going on with the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. And they arrested him, threw him in prison for no reason at all, no charges whatsoever.
Who is they? Who arrested him, John?
I got this. That's all I was told was from this one person who was his colleague. Anyway, they threw him in prison, and he was beaten to death. They had him beaten to death in prison. This is how cruel and desperate these people are to conceal what's really going on there.
So you're telling us that BP was playing a game with us, that there really was an oil problem because of the leak, etc., but that what they're showing was what they constantly show on television is not the real leak, that
right.
The damage that it had done to the Gulf of Mexico seabed is so destructive that they're trying to cover it up.
Right. It's a burgeoning natural disaster. Now,
okay. What does that mean, John? I mean, what does that mean that it's a national disaster? Because what will it mean? What are the ramifications for Americans and other people?
Well, first I'll tell you what's going to happen. Now, I was told this. I know someone who is a friend of a geologist with the U.S. Geological Survey. This geologist has been doing, and this was good 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago, long before anybody ever heard of the BP oil spill. He told me that his geologist friend told him that they expect land masses to arise out of the Gulf of Mexico. I was shocked when I heard about that, but I knew about Planet X, and I immediately realized that this was called, would be caused by Planet X, because the mostly molten iron core of the Earth is going to be heated up by these electromagnetic fields, these magnetic fields that are being radiated into the Earth by these incoming comets and by this extraordinary solar hyperactivity that's blasting the Earth, feeding back into the Earth's core. And it's causing the Earth's core to be heated up because the Earth's magnetic field originates from the Earth's mostly molten iron core. The circulating molten iron generates an electric current, essentially, because you have electrons in motion. Again, like I said, electrons in motion generate a magnetic field, which now that field gets energy pumped into it by the solar blasts that are occurring and by these incoming comets. As a result, our Earth's mostly molten iron core is like a gas stove, your gas range, the flame. And the Earth's mantle, which is closer to the surface, further out from the center, it's molten rock, rock so hot that it's mixed with metals that has turned to liquid, very thick, gooey. Think of it as chocolate pudding. You've got a big pot of chocolate pudding on the stove, and it's heating up, and it gets hotter and hotter, and eventually these plumes of gas, steam, start pushing through the surface, penetrating through the surface, plopping upward, and you see the plopping effect. Every time, did you ever notice that plopping pudding looks like volcanoes?
Yes.
That's exactly how a volcano is formed. Mm-hmm. Now, we get more and more of this plopping, this pressure of gases, not only molten magma coming up in the form of what geologists call mantle plumes, but also gases, methane gas and other gases, along with this, these lava lamp types of columns of mantle plumes that come up like a child's bedroom lava lamp. They flow upward from the molten iron core through, basically from the base of the mantle. The mantle is like pudding getting heated up, and it's coming to the surface, and it hits the hard, crusty, thin, lithospheric crust of the Earth at the seabed or at the surface of the dry land, and it begins to push upward and form bulges, and the gas begins to erupt. We've had methane eruptions from the Gulf of Mexico. We have seabed bulging, cracking open, and this is what BP, I believe, is trying to conceal by putting down that Corexit. Eventually,
okay.
I mean, it's only a short-term concealment. Eventually, we're going to have some type of tremendous explosion coming up from the Gulf of Mexico. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sound ominous, but I'm just trying to warn people.
You are ominous,
John.
We
need to prepare. I could tell fairy tales and make everybody feel happy and secure, or I could tell the truth and scare people. I don't know which.
Okay, let's talk about, before we talk about these individual things, you know, I'm trying to get you to talk a little bit about Yellowstone, how that's going to go.
Okay,
on.
I'm sorry. I'll get to it.
I know, you get off track, but
there's a whole line.
And we talk about the various volcanoes I referred to. I do want to ask you about my theory that people in the bunkers are going to, many ways, be worse off than we are, because is not the crust of the earth and the core of the earth going to heat up to such a degree that the people in the bunkers who are under the ground are going to feel it?
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, they're afraid to go under there. They don't want to go under there, but they have no choice. I would not want to go under there, but here's the thing. When you know, and they know, that you're going to be burned to death if you stay on the surface of the earth. Did you see the movie Knowing? Yes, everybody, I'd urge you to...
What's his name? Nicolas Cage, yes.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage, right. 2009 movie Knowing, K-N-O-W-I-N-G. In that movie, they show us, it's telling us what's going to happen, essentially, in the form of a fictional movie, that the Earth is going to be blasted by the sun when the sun gets so hot. And again, the National Academy of Sciences has shown the article to Jesse Ventura and Larry Joseph. And we, the world, and Michio Kaku, astrophysicists, have been harping on this, that their solar blasting is going to occur, and it's going to, basically, if it gets bad enough, it'll kill all life on the surface. In the movie Knowing, the government is telling people, go underground, all we can tell you to do is dig as deep as you can. That's all we can tell you. So when you say they're not very safe underground, I agree. They're scared because they have no choice. Either they go underground and risk their lives or stay on the surface and be fried.
Well, they may be fried underground before we even are. I don't know, John. I do know that I have a scientific background, and I know that the core of the earth is going to heat up just as soon as we start feeling the effects of Planet X, if not before, just from the solar rays. Because you don't have something that happens above the earth without it affecting below the earth.
Right.
And I think we're going to, hey, you know what, we're already at a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about Yellowstone, Vieja, and some of these other things, okay? So let's take a quick break, and listeners, stay tuned. All right, listeners, we're back. This is Dr. Gianni Hayes with my guest, John DiNardo, and we're talking about right now natural disasters, why there's an increase in volcanic eruptions and earthquakes and tsunamis. And I'm trying to get John to focus in this direction because he has so much knowledge that, you know, he'll go off on little tangents, which I really enjoy. But I know we only have a half an hour, John, so now we need to kind of funnel it into these disasters.
Okay,
let's start with Yellowstone.
All right, this USGS geologist says that there's a whole line, sort of like a dotted line of magma domes that are pressing upward, pushing upward from the Earth's mantle beneath the lithospheric crust. This line is sort of like a dotted line. If you can visualize a map of the Gulf of Mexico and the United States, this line starts from the Lesser Antilles, which is off the northeastern shoulder of South America.
Yes,
and
I've been there.
It goes up through the Gulf of Mexico diagonally up toward the north in a northwesterly direction, through the Gulf of Mexico, through Louisiana, through Texas, Oklahoma, Colorado, and into the northwest corner of Wyoming, where the Yellowstone caldera is located. This line of bulges of coming up from the magma domes underneath are beginning to become more pronounced. And there's great concern that Yellowstone, being along that line, is ready to explode. But at the same time, the Madrid Fault Zone, the new Madrid Fault Zone, mm-hmm. in the Four Corners region of the Midwestern United States, encompassing around Missouri, Arkansas, et cetera, that new Madrid Fault Zone is becoming dangerous, too. They've been having government exercises around there preparing for disasters. Just this year they had some exercises preparing for a disaster, which they stated would be in the New Madrid area. So there you go. The government's telling us that there's probably very likely going to be an earthquake there. They've got many nuclear power plants along this fault zone, and people, citizens, ought to get together and to say, look, shut down these nuclear power plants. I mean, I've been screaming about it, and others have been too, and I have a nuclear power plant right near me in New York, and that thing is right on a fault zone.
John, there's also that segment of society, and I'm not sure which one I belong in, that really relies on nuclear power plants. And if we shut those down, we'll be three times dependent on foreign oil than we are on our own natural resources. Now, nuclear energy is generally safe. There are mistakes. Yes, there are some accidents. Three Mile Island in the United States was probably one of the worst ones. But even still, that wasn't a full meltdown like Chernobyl was. But what I'm saying is, if we shut down all of the nuclear power plants in this country, we will have no energy. And
right,
you know,
that's why
we will be in a really bad state. So I don't know if what you're proposing is even feasible.
Well, that's why the public, who are generally apathetic and ignorant of what's going on, will not rally enough to actually get them shut down. The only people that might shut them down are the people in the know, in the government, and the scientific community who know what's going to happen. And you have a choice: either sustain another Fukushima, where we all die slowly from radioactive poisoning, or go without power.
But John,
they may shut it down, but I doubt it. We're going to have Fukushimas all over the United States.
But how do we get the energy if we shut down every power plant in this country?
We won't. If we shut them down, it'll collapse the economy.
Yeah, well, I'm not even concerned about the economy. That's only part of it. The other part is there's not going to be any energy. People won't be able to heat their homes. They won't be able to cook.
That's right. We'll go back to a primitive existence. That's why people won't do it. That's why we're bound to have Fukushimas all over the United States.
Well, but, you know, Japan has a ton of them. Japan has a ton of nuclear reactors. You know that. And only one was bothered by it. So they didn't go and shut down every single one in their country. They only shut down Fukushima. So what good would it be to shut down the ones in the United States, which is, I don't know how many times the size of Japan. We're a huge nation. Shut down each one of those nuclear power plants, John, and people, I know they're dangerous when you talk about earthquakes and you talk about volcanic eruptions. God knows they are dangerous. But if we live in fear, we're not going to be able to live, period, because you shut those down. There is no energy whatsoever. We're so damn reliant on foreign oil.
I agree. We have no choice. Either way, we lose. There are nuclear power plants located near earthquake fault lines all over the country. In California,
that was stupid.
Missouri.
Stupid on the part.
Right, and also in New York, Indian Point, that's an infamous one. That's sitting right on top of two earthquake fault lines, Indian Point in New York, not too far from me. When that thing goes, 60 million people in the New York metropolitan area will be irradiated, and it's slow death.
Yeah, and I mean,
what happened in Chernobyl? I'm not exaggerating. What happened in Chernobyl? Those people died of leukemia.
I know that.
So the same thing will happen here. It's not hyperbole. It's not fear-mongering.
And John, I'm not accusing you that at all.
No, I know you're not. I want to convince people that it's not exaggeration, because we've seen it happen with Chernobyl.
Well, okay. So, yeah, I agree with you. But let's talk about how Yellowstone would develop into a super volcano, mega volcano. How would that happen?
It's a caldera, which means
what's underneath the park. That underneath the park, that there is activity going on. So maybe you can, you know, take them through what that activity is, why it ends up in geysers, and what's the danger.
The activity is geothermal activity, and that's why the geysers blow off every certain period of time, every sort of predictable time period, because they know how long it takes for these gases to build up. We've all heard about people going to watch the geysers at Yellowstone. So we know there's natural pressure under there all the time. But the pressure is now getting intense. The sulfur emissions are greater. I read articles even years ago, within the early part of this decade, the 2000 decade that the ground was so hot you couldn't even walk on it. And animals were fleeing, and there were sulfur fumes. So imagine how much worse it must have gotten now with the increase in activity in our solar system, the magnetic activity and the solar activity. It's about the caldera of Yellowstone is like it's a mountain with a huge bowl sitting on top filled with water, and that's very explosive. The water.
Mm-hmm.
There was a great explosion 36 and a half centuries ago. No coincidence. That was when Planet X came in again, on its last incursion into our solar system, and that explosion was the Santorini volcano.
Yes, I was
caldera.
There. The Santorini, yes.
Right, and that's a great one. They say the volcanic explosive index was very high, according to geological studies, and that destroyed the Minoan civilization.
Yes.
And that cloud of black ash drifted southward over Egypt just in time for God's ordained activity in Exodus chapter 9, the book of Exodus chapter 9 of the Bible, where God told Moses and Aaron to cast up ashes from the furnace in the face of Pharaoh and his magicians.
All right, John, I got to keep you on track here because we don't have a lot of time.
Okay, so anyway, that volcano is dangerous. I mean, all I can say is it's a matter of time. No one knows when, but it's a matter of time before that thing explodes. Look, the entire planet is getting heated up. We're seeing more mantle plumes coming up. I spoke to this other guy, as I think I mentioned, who was working in oceanography or working for the government. He wouldn't tell me exactly what it was, but he was telling me they had these buoys, these sea ocean buoys that they're dragging along by ship. And these were the big oil companies, I believe, dragging these buoys along, and the buoys would project a signal, a sonar signal out, and a signal, it would be able to detect bulges in the seafloor. Anytime there was a bulge, that indicated there was a buildup of methane gas. So they wanted to prospect and tap into these methane gas bulges on the seafloor in various oceans around the world for profit. So they're capitalizing on this situation. They know about the bulges of methane.
Okay, now go ahead, John. You can't get off track here.
Okay, so Yellowstone is only one of the many ramifications of all this heating up of the Earth, where the magma is beginning to bulge up with gases from underneath. It's happening on the seafloors. It's happening on the land. It's happening all over. So when will Yellowstone go? Who knows? But it's bound to happen within the foreseeable future. I wanted to get onto prophecy, too, real quickly. The California.
But I wanted to talk about the disasters, John, and you get off.
Well, okay. I was going to talk about the earthquake in California. Okay, but the coming earthquake. But before that, let's go to
what Cumbre
Vieja, which is affecting you because you live in Maryland. And God forbid, I mean, how would you get off of that little peninsula?
We wouldn't.
That's one bridge.
Where do you go? There's only three ways off of this peninsula. One's up through Philadelphia, and that's 2.5 hours away. One's across the Chesapeake Bay Bridge to the western shore, and they're going to get hit, and that's 2.5 hours away. Or you're going to go down to Norfolk, and that's 2.5 hours away. But every single one of those places I just named will be all underwater from the tsunami.
Well, what we can do is, many of us, to get working together, we can look for that when that volcano begins to heat up. We can take a day trip, jump in the car, and go, take a day trip inland a day or two before it happens. Probably won't happen, and we'll wind up coming back again, and then taking another day trip. Whenever we see the situation at that Cumbre Vieja volcanic mountain in the Canary Islands begin to heat up, the scientist over there, Professor Simon Day, and Bill McGuire, both of them are doctorates in geology. They have been warning us about the dangers at the Cumbre Vieja for years. They tell us in famous documentaries that have been presented on Discovery Channel that western flank of the Cumbre Vieja volcanic mountain in the Canary Islands off the west coast of Africa, that is totally disconnected, separated with a margin of about 12 feet gap between the western dislocated western flank and the mountain proper. That western flank, they say, weighs 0.5 trillion tons, a half a trillion tons. And when it slides into the ocean, we've seen examples of volcanic, of landslide-driven tsunamis. They are many times larger than undersea earthquake-driven tsunamis. And the reason is, according to the scientists at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich, Switzerland, they say you have a large mass of material that's plopping into the ocean at a very rapid pace, and it displaces far more water than the actual volume of the mountain itself. So this displacement creates a tremendous tsunami. The first wave coming from when this thing plops into the ocean, the first wave would be two Empire State Buildings high. Of course, it will level out as it travels across the ocean, and you're, of course, you're safe in a tsunami if you're out to sea, far out to sea. And when you see the U.S. government and all the navies of the world putting their ships out to sea, that'll be a sign for you that they're expecting a tsunami, because the inland seaports are going to be blasted by the tsunami. Well, this thing will travel at 450 miles an hour, according to the scientists at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. 450 miles an hour. It'll take about 8 hours to go from the Canary Islands off the west coast of Africa to the entire east coast of the Americas, from Nova Scotia down past Boston, New York.
How many hours, John?
8 hours.
Yeah, that's what I heard, 8.
It'll take only 3 hours to go to Portugal, Spain, and England.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have 8 hours. That won't be enough time, because if it happens in the middle of the night, everybody's asleep. There'll be gridlock on the roads. People won't even get out of their beds in time. But what we can do is watch for it. We can have I tried to organize a whole citizens group along the East Coast, and I tried to select people who care, like emergency medical personnel, firemen, people who care and who live right along the shore, like in cities like Atlantic City, Miami, whatever. They care because they're there and they're going to be the victims and their families. And I wanted to set up a network where we could all watch the Cumbre Vieja, and when it gets heated up and begins to smoke and smolder, that's when the scientists say that the steam buildup from that a smoldering volcano with the Cumbre Vieja will heat up with the water that's trapped in the margins of that separated land mountain's flank, and heat it up such that the steam will be generated in the margin, and it will cause a tremendous reduction in the frictional force holding that western flank on that sliding board known as the Cumbre Vieja, and it will slide into the ocean. So we can flee westward when we see the mountain, the volcano heating up, and that's our best choice, the best chance of survival.
What is the Pico Viejo? Is it the same as the Cumbre Vieja? Are they two different?
I have not studied that, there's probably numerous volcanic mountains in that area.
Yeah, it just it talks about that this is a triangular, spectacular shadow that's over this Pico Viejo crater. And that it's very dangerous. So I was just wondering if it was part of the Cumbre Vieja, which is a huge one, and that's the one we're concerned about. What about the one that's, what's it called, Teide? Mount Teide, or it's
Teide? You know more about that than I do, Gianni. All I've studied is the Cumbre Vieja. Because if it's a bunch of islands, it's very likely there are other volcanoes, and they're all just as susceptible to eruption. I'll tell you, we've seen signs. Now, somebody just called me today with a report. They've found that there were 7,000 small earthquakes in the area of the Canary Islands and the Cumbre Vieja area.
Wow.
In the past 2 months, 7,000 earthquakes. And Professor Bill McGuire of the University College of London, along with Professor Simon Day, they tell us when you see these swarms, either swarm is an earthquake of many earthquakes clustering in one area, small earthquakes clustering at the same time in a centralized locale. But whenever you see these earthquake swarms, there's a great danger of volcanic eruption of any volcanoes that are in the midst of that swarm, and that's the Cumbre Vieja. So right now, there's a great danger of a volcanic eruption in the Cumbre Vieja, which will wipe out the entire east coast of the United States and Canada and South America, the entire Americas. This is what the History Channel has been telling us with this repeated documentary called Mega Tsunami. Go to YouTube and type in Mega Tsunami. I'm not trying to scare people. The History Channel is trying to warn us. So is the British Broadcasting Company, BBC. They keep on presenting this Mega Tsunami repeatedly because they know of the danger. And now Professor Simon Day has been on television even more distraught than ever before, warning us about all these earthquake swarms that portend or signify possible eruption of the Cumbre Vieja. So we better be ready to, we all should watch it. Gianni, you, me, everybody on the East Coast, and try to get
but
the...
I don't know what we do about it, John, because like you said, getting off of the East Coast, which how many million, 65 plus million, no, it's more than that, people live along the East Coast from, you know, New England down to Florida. We're all, and you know, people say, well, look, go over to the western shore of Maryland. Well, the western shore of Maryland is D.C. and Baltimore. And if that kind of tsunami is going to hit the East Coast, it's going to wipe out D.C. as well. It's only 50 miles across the bay to D.C. from the eastern shore of Maryland.
Could that be why President Obama and many people from Washington, D.C. just went to Denver because they suspected, they were told by the scientists that there may be a tsunami, so get the hell out of there just in case.
That's what I was leading up to, John, because, you know, I know people, unless you live here, people don't understand that the peninsula that I live on, which is Delaware, and they call Eastern Maryland and Eastern Virginia because it's east of D.C. and Baltimore and like Arlington, Virginia. Those people are separated from us by the Chesapeake Bay. If you go across the Chesapeake Bay from the eastern shore to the western shore of Maryland and Virginia, you go across here, it's only 50 miles. That Chesapeake Bay Bridge is only 7 miles long from one end to the other. But at its widest point, the bay is only 50 miles. So if it hits the tsunami, this huge tsunami hits the East Coast, it will engulf D.C., Baltimore, the western shore of Virginia, which is Arlington, Fairfax, and all of that. And I would bet that it would even reach over to West Virginia. But I think that all of the East Coast, including the western shore, most western part of Maryland, which is the D.C. area, they're all going to be buried. There's no way to stop that kind of mile-high wave with the ferocity that it will have from tearing apart the eastern seaboard and adjoining states from the mainland of America.
I can tell you with certainty that the danger of that Cumbre Vieja East Coast tsunami is greater right now as we speak than it has ever been before because of these 7,000 earthquakes, small earthquakes that have been clustered in a huge earthquake swarm for the past 2 months around the Cumbre Vieja in the Canary Islands. And these scientists are really alarmed about this. So what we do is this. We try to keep our heads straight and level, and we watch that volcano on the internet, and if it becomes active and begins to erupt, just get your family packed up in the car. You might have a 2 days, 3 days advance notice. That'll give you time to beat the crowds. We want to warn the crowds. We want to warn people, too, to get out of there early, and we warn as many as we can. And that can be done, I hope, by setting up a network of emergency medical personnel and firemen who live right on the shore itself. Atlantic City, Miami, Norfolk, you name it. They're going to be most concerned because they're most endangered. And have them set up a network where they could say, okay, we're going to evacuate people now, even though there's been no landslide yet from the Cumbre Vieja. That volcano is beginning to erupt. Get the people out of there.
All right, let me ask you this, John. We only have a couple minutes left. It always goes fast with you. But you wanted to talk about the Western earthquake, California earthquake and prophecy. And I want to give you the opportunity in the last few minutes to go ahead and do that.
There is so much prophecy. And you know, God gives prophecy to people in the Bible as prophets, but God has also proven to give prophecy to other people who are not Christians. I mean, God loves everyone. And there was a man named Joel Brandt, 17-year-old teenager, who was riding his horse Blackie in Fresno, California, in 1937. He fell off the horse, hit his head. Went to the hospital with a concussion. While he was in the hospital, I've got the whole story, is well documented. He was seeing these visions, and he wrote down everything. He was falling asleep, going into a coma, in and out of a coma for several days. And during this time, he wrote down all his visions. He saw himself in a vision on Hollywood Boulevard. He saw scenes that you could only see today, that could only exist today. In 1937, he saw women, girls, some young girls, late teens, early 20s, with what he called frowsy hair. Now, frowsy hair means disheveled, floppy, sticking out. Well, that's a punk hairdo. There are girls wearing those hairdos now. He saw guys, young men in their late teens, early 20s, with beards and earrings. Now, I don't know if beards and earrings for young guys is still in fashion in Hollywood or Southern California, but if it is, what he saw in a vision was about to happen soon. I believe it is. I believe what he was describing was the fashion. He even described a situation where a woman had her dog, and her dog, she had a little white, I forget, one of those pet dogs, and she called the dog Frau Frau, they started feeling the effects of an earthquake beginning. And she was scared, and she picked up the dog and said, "Come on, Frau Frau, let's go back home." And people were getting scared. This is what Joe Brandt saw in his vision in 1937 as he laid in his hospital bed, semi-comatose. God was given Joe Brandt, B-R-A-N-D-T. You can Google that. Joe Brandt's vision, B-R-A-N-T-D-T. So we should look for that. Now, in conjunction with that vision, Edgar Casey, the sleeping prophet.
You don't believe in Casey, do you, John?
I believe I believe the things that he has predicted in a trance.
And so would you believe in Nostradamus, too?
God gives visions to not evil people. Edgar Casey was a good man. He was an altruistic man. And I believe he was a Christian. He talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, but it doesn't matter because Nostradamus was not a Christian. However, in the Bible, in the book of Numbers, we see an evil prophet by the name of Balaam, B-A-A-L-A-M. Mm-hmm. He was an evil, wicked prophet, but God spoke to this man. So God speaks to evil, good, and in-between people. He has proven to do this. God gives prophecy to the Native American Indians. I can tell you cases where it's just fantastic what he was produced to a woman named No Eyes, an Indian woman named No Eyes. She said, this was way back, I don't know, in the 80s, she said, "The great phoenix is going to burst out of Earth Mother, causing earthquakes, ripping, tearing her skin apart." She said, "They're going to see this great phoenix," and again, that's a satanic kind of thing, "this great phoenix is going to see bodies hit the ground." Well, that tells me about the people who had to jump out of the World Trade Center building in 2001.
Yeah, but John, you know, you can extrapolate just about from any person's, predictions.
Okay, that might or might not be true. But anyway, Joe Brandt's prophecy with Edgar Casey said that when you see, we can put Joe Brandt and Edgar Casey's prophecies together and perhaps save some lives in Southern California, because Edgar Casey, in his trance, stated that when you see either the eruption of Mount Pelee in Martinique, the island of Martinique, or the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in Italy, either one of those two volcanoes, when they erupt, the great California earthquake and Nevada earthquakes will occur around 3 months thereafter. So we can possibly save lives by watching Joe Brandt's prophecy be Brandt, and Edgar Cayce's prophecy, putting them together and predicting that California earthquake.
Okay. All right, John, thank you so, so much. You're always a great guest. Next week we have more great guests. Thank you all, listeners. Good night. God bless.